We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for preserving the gift of your word, Lord, and may we rejoice that in your word is power and the Spirit is always at work. And so, Lord, now as we engage your teaching and your word in this parable this morning, Lord, may it bear the fruit that you seek for it to bear in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, where we struggle to bear fruit, Lord, may we see the reasons behind that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I lived in West Texas, particularly Lubbock, for almost 11 years, I learned way more about cotton farming than I ever really wanted to learn about cotton farming. I didn't grow up around it. I wasn't familiar with it like my wife was. She was a cotton farmer's daughter, so she knew all sorts of things, but much of it was new to me. And one of the things I'll never forget is some of what I learned as it related to cotton seed. I never would have thought cotton seed could be as complicated as it has become these days. Did you know, you probably did, I was probably the one behind the eight ball, did you know that they can genetically engineer the cotton seed so that seed is more drought tolerant? Everyone knew that but me? Maybe? They can also modify the seed genetically so that certain insects, like boll weevils, don't come in and ruin the crop. And the more the seed's engineered, the more expensive the seed is to purchase. And there are all sorts of manufacturers out there seeking to get the farmer's business. But if the farmer's going to go in with one of these seeds, it is a pretty significant investment on the farmer's part. And so he is going to do everything possible with this genetically engineered seed so that it might maximize his impact. And when we talk about farming and impact, we're talking about its fruitfulness. Now, on occasion, farmers will buy what they call brown bag seed, usually planted on dry land, thinking there's not going to be much rain or hail and that they will benefit from the insurance claim on the property. But if none of that happens and the seed grows up, they have to harvest it, and then they complain a lot that they went with that seed and not the valuable engineered seed. But it's engineered to do all that they can try to do to ensure that it will bear fruit. Well, in today's parable, as we turn to it, it's always helpful when we go through the parables to identify a few things. Well, in this parable, the sower of the seed is Jesus, and the seed is the Word of God. Now, we know that God's Word is valuable. It has not only temporal benefits, but also eternal benefits, and it is far more valuable even than the most engineered cotton seed. But this leaves us with a little bit of an issue with the sower, that is, with Jesus in this parable. Because it seems as if he is just recklessly throwing this valuable seed all over the place with no concern whatsoever as to where this seed is going to land. Now, if Jesus were being judged as the sower, as a farmer, there would be a lot of farmers that would tell him to find another career. It just seems so wasteful, and with the superabundancy by which he tosses it all over the place. Well, then Jesus turns the disciples and our eyes to the soil and the places where his word is coming to land. And you could look at the soil, maybe in some sense, as your heart or that place which receives God's word. And we hear that the seed that falls along the path, right, being something trodden, and it's hard, and it's not easy, and most likely seeds never actually going to get in below the top of that hardened soil. Similarly, right, sometimes when our heart is hardened and God's word is spoken or read or heard by us, it hits our ears and it just bounces off. Of no benefit, producing no fruit. Then there's the soil that falls along the rocky ground. And here it seems as if it's landed in a good place in your life. It maybe begins to grow a little, but Jesus says, the heart changes because tough times or challenges or things in your life didn't turn out the way that you had hoped that they would. And so when God's word comes to you, it ends up having no effect because you reject it as a result of blaming God for all the things that have gone wrong in your life, the challenges, the difficulties. And you blame him, maybe not saying he sent it, but you blame him saying he didn't prevent it. And when that's the kind of way your heart is formed, this precious, valuable, powerful, spirit-filled word isn't going to produce the things that God intends his word to produce in your life. And then there's the seed that falls among the thorns. It also, at the beginning, seems good, but Jesus tells us that it gets choked out by the cares and the attachments to things in this world. Another way you could maybe say this is all the things in your life which seem to matter more to you than God himself seem to make this word of God not bear the fruit that God would desire and hope that it would produce in your life. And then there's that seed that falls on the good soil. The seed where the Spirit has done his proper work in the heart of a person. And that person not only receives the word, but they attentively listen and hear it and understand it. And they give that word the chance to do what God promised his word would do, is that through his power and Spirit, that word will be transformative in your life, will produce fruit in your life at various levels. So, what's the problem that we need to pay attention to in this parable? Well, I'll tell you this, as much as many might like to say, the problem isn't Jesus the sower. Shouldn't come as a surprise. And the problem isn't the word itself. Because the word, created by God and in the person of Jesus Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit, will always do what God wants it to do. This leaves the problem with who? Us. Right? At least as it relates to the three soils that Jesus talks about not bearing fruit. Right? This is a result of your rejecting this work of God and my rejecting this word of God for whatever these reasons Jesus has listed might be. Right? It's very similar to how salvation happens in your life and in mine, is the word comes to many and many reject it, and then there are those whom the Holy Spirit has enabled to receive and bear and receive the fruits of God's word. It's a similar pattern, but this isn't related only to salvation. It's related to the daily coming of Christ's word into your life. It could be in a message like this. It could be in a small group Bible study that you are in or that you lead. It could be in your own personal devotion. It could be in your receiving the word in the Lord's sacrament. It could be in any of these things, and it could, in all of these scenarios, be met with the same challenges that Jesus puts before us. So we need to begin to wonder and pray and ask of the Spirit, Spirit, can you help me when I put myself in the place where your word is shared? Can you help by your grace in my receptivity to this word? Can you bring to my attention, Spirit, if my heart is soured? Can you bring to my mind if my heart is hardened over some situation in my life? Can you bring to my heart if I go to these places and all I'm thinking about is that thing which my heart really loves? Hobbies, golf, whatever. Will you point it out? And through the power of your word, when it meets me in those places, will you work repentance in my life? Will you turn me back to you that I might not only be forgiven, but when I receive that forgiveness of sins that you give, may the soil of my heart be transformed by you. You see, God's word isn't magic. It's not just about being in the right place. It's about being in the right place with the right heart as the Holy Spirit shapes and molds your heart and mine. You can be in all the right places, but if His word, when He speaks it, just bounces off or gets choked out, then it does no good. So maybe it's about time we hear from our Lord and recognize and realize, Lord, when I am in your presence, when you are speaking, help me to receive that word of yours, which I know will accomplish in my life what you want it to. Isaiah 55. And Lord, remind me that the power is in you and not in me. May we approach the places where Jesus scatters the seed of His word, knowing and believing how valuable, transforming, and eternal this word is. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes we rejoice seeing the work that you have done in our lives as you speak into our lives. And sometimes, Lord, we get frustrated and we believe that you aren't at work in our lives and we don't see the fruit of our lives. Lord, may your Spirit enlighten us to see those moments and to reevaluate our own lives in light of your truth and grace and mercy. And Lord, where we need to wake up or where we need to turn in repentance, Lord, may your Spirit work that into our hearts as well. So that when we receive that forgiveness, Lord, we know that our soil is ready, it is good, and it will bear the fruit that you intend. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.